This is Dwan Reese King conducting an interview for the West Indian Carnival Documentation Project. Today's date is August 3rd, 1994, and I'm sitting here outside the cast and rehearsal with Tricia Thomas. And let's get started. Tricia, I'd like you to tell me a little bit about yourself. Can you tell me where you were born?
Well, I was born in New York, Manhattan, New York, and NYU. Mm-hmm. And when I was about 2 weeks old, I went to Trinidad and I stayed there till I was about six. And I came up here and I've been living in Brooklyn for about 8 years. And then 2 years ago, I moved to New Jersey, where I reside now.
Okay, and where do you go to school in New Jersey?
I go to Edison High School.
Okay. In New Jersey. So you come up here several times a week for rehearsals?
Yes, so sometimes I just sleep in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about what you remember about life in Trinidad when you were younger? Do you remember much about it?
It was fun. It was more outdoors. We didn't have to deal with the cold weather. Mm-hmm. And parents were strict. The food is much nicer, you know, different varieties of food and everything. I just like it better in Trinidad than I like it out here.
Do you go back to visit often?
All the time.
Okay. Did you ever go to carnival when you were little? Do you remember?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I went to carnival last year. It was the last time I went.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yes. Well, I'm not exactly how... I know like a few months before the carnival, probably around Christmas time, they start opening up mass camps where they put all the costumes on display and stuff. And you know, people, they go around visiting the various mass camps to see which band they want to play in, which section they like the best. And then they also have calypso shows and they also have the panorama competition. Mm-hmm. So you know, the calypso shows, they have tents where, you know, like a certain amount of calypsoans in this tent and then he's in another tent, and then they choose from those tents to see which calypsoans will come into the competition to become the Soca Monarch, mm-hmm. which is the king of calypso for that year that the carnival is. And then with the panorama, all the bands, they come together, and there's a lot of bands in Trinidad. So they have North Zonal Finals, South Zonal Finals, to see who will make it to the semifinals, and then on to the finals, and then who will win. Mm-hmm. So you see, there's more bands out there, so they can do it like that. Whereas with us, we just have one show, one night, because there's only about, 10 bands. Where in Trinidad, they have probably over 100.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you participate, get involved in Trinidad's carnival last year?
Well, I played with a band for Juve. Mm-hmm. Juve is the night before. The carnival is 2 days in Trinidad, Monday and Tuesday. And Tuesday is the Sunday morning into Monday morning. It's like the break of day, mm-hmm. where everybody just come on the streets, you know, all the bands play music and stuff. And that's like getting ready for the mass coming on during the day on Monday. And I participated in that. That was all.
Did you play with an organized group or with...
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I played with Phase 2.
Okay.
That's one of the bigger bands, steel bands in Trinidad. Mm-hmm.
Did you play mass when you were down there?
When I was smaller, I did.
When you were smaller?
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? What kind of roles you played?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure, but, you know, got dressed up in a costume. And then wherever we were supposed to meet the band in the morning, we went there. As a matter of fact, I played on Saturday for Kitty's Carnival. Mm-hmm. Saturday have a Kitty's Carnival. And, you know, went out there. My grandmother took me and my sister. And we went out there. We played. You know, you march from one point to another point. And then in the Savannah, that's where they have the competition to see which band, you know, they like the best, which has the prettiest costumes, the most organized, stuff like that. And then, you know, get to that point, and then you just march back on to the mass camp, wherever you started, and then after that you go home. It takes the whole day, just about.
Mm-hmm. So you came up to Brooklyn when you were six?
Yeah.
Okay. When was the first time you attended the carnival here?
The first time?
Mm-hmm.
I must have been about 8 years
okay.
old.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, those years, it wasn't really anything big. I just played on a Saturday, mm-hmm. for Kitty's Carnival also, because I was very small. But then when I was about 12 or 13, no, 13 as a matter of fact, I was the queen of the section for Hawks Mass Camp, and mm-hmm. the queen is the one that wears, they're the one that leads the band, and they have the biggest costume.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the theme is, that's what the queen's costume will be.
Okay.
And then the other people, they have a similar costume, but it's a lot smaller, and you know, they follow behind. So when I was 13.
So what was the theme that year?
It was, to tell you the truth, it was about calypso songs,
mm-hmm.
and there was a song about a sukunya. Now that in Trinidad is a ball of fire.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know, my costume looked basically like a big ball of fire.
Oh.
All right. All right.
So that was when you were 13.
Yeah.
So you've played mass quite a bit, like while you were a child.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about it? Was it something that just came natural to you, or
my family? If it's one thing about my family, they like to recognize their culture,
mm-hmm.
and anything you know happening in Caribbean, they're always in it. And my mother, she instilled that in me from small. I think it's because you know I like the music and I like to party and stuff. So I told her, she said, ask me if I wanted to play mass, and I told her, yeah. So she just took me to the mass camp. And how I happened to be queen is because we know the leader of the section. He's our good friend. And every year, somebody from my family plays queen. And that year was my year.
Oh, okay.
So that's how we got into that.
Mm. Okay. So have you done it again since then? So that was, what,
three years ago? The year after that, I decided to play pan instead of playing mass.
Okay. Well, let's jump a little bit to your involvement in CASM. Can you tell me about that and how you got involved in playing pan?
But ever since I was small, I told my mother I wanted to play pan. But when she was growing up in Trinidad, girls weren't allowed. It wasn't right for a girl to be playing pan. And I told her, from the time I came up here, from the time I was about 1988, the band Phase 2, they came up here. And I just fell in love and I was like, Mommy, I want to play. And all the bands that she heard about, it was just band with a lot of big men and stuff. And you know, me as a little girl, only 8 years old, she didn't want to subject me to that. And then her friend told her about CASM about 3 years later, 1989, I was 11. And then, you know, I got involved in CASM. I've been here for about 5 years now, 5, 6 years.
Okay. So are there a fair amount number of girls playing?
Yeah. At one point, I believe there were more girls than boys, but now I couldn't tell you.
So what's it like playing? I mean, what do you enjoy about it the most?
Well, first of all, I love music.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the instrument. And I like going to, you know, various places to perform. And it's fun, you know. It's like, I mean, of course, everywhere you go, you will find that there's arguments among the group. But it's still unity. We're like a family. Because no matter what, we'll always stick together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our losses is everyone's loss. Our victories is everybody's victory.
So how many years have you participated in the Panorama?
5 years.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? What's it like to play for that?
Oh, well, normally we start practicing at about August. You know, we come down to practice and he teaches the section leaders a part. And the section leader will go on to teach the rest of the section. And then we all come together and he drills everybody. You know, you play it down. If he didn't like the way it sounded, he'll play it down one by one. Or each section would just play it together, you know, see how it sounds. And then up until the last few nights, and then like every night it gets hectic. And then like usually the last two nights we'll come outside so, you know, we can hear how it sounds and everything. And we practice till as late as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, on the day, everybody's hyped up. And we go to the museum and we practice until it's our turn to go up on stage and then we play. And then usually some people, they stay behind for results, but a lot of people, they go home or fall asleep because, you know, we're a youth band. And that's how it is.
I've heard that you guys are out, you're competing against adults.
Yeah, we are. We are the only all youth band in I believe, the States.
In the States?
I believe so. The only band that's strictly for youth.
So from a strictly objective opinion, how do you think you compare with the
other
bands?
I think we are very good. I don't care what anybody says. We're good. I mean, if you see the people in our band, they're about, 4 feet high.
I've seen that. I was just watching.
And they're playing, and, you know, I mean, they don't always catch it up to speed, but, you know, they're doing their best. You know that they come out, they try their hardest, and they have practice every night learning the song, drilling. And no matter what, they never give up. We lose one year, we come back again next year, and we do the same thing. I give our band a lot of respect in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's obviously very important to you since you have to come up here from Edison.
Yeah.
How many times a week?
Well, right now it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but maybe as we go on, we might start practicing every day. Or we also practice on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
We might end up practicing every day soon. I'm not sure.
You practice year-round?
Yeah, we do.
You do?
We're also one of the few bands up here that practice all year round. Every Friday and Saturday during the year, and then when it comes to Panorama, it's summertime really, it's like a summer program. Practice Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then as Panorama comes in, practice like nearly every day.
Who are some of the other bands that compete in the Panorama?
There's Sonatas, Pan Rebels, Moods, I don't know if Moods is still in existence. There's Metro, there's Despas USA. silhouettes, Harlem Pan, no, Pan Fantasy, Fantasy, Harlem All-Stars. And we even have a band. I think Pan Fantasy comes from Canada to participate. And last year, Hartford Symphony, they came from Connecticut and they participated.
Do you ever go to other carnivals and participate in their panorama?
Well, this year we're supposed to go into Miami for their carnival and we'll participate in that panorama.
So is that the first time?
It's going to be the third time we're visiting Miami as a band, but the first time playing in their panorama.
Okay. Have you gone to any other ones then?
Not
as a band. Are there any other carnivals that you go to on a semi-regular basis?
Well, always Trinidad.
Always Trinidad.
I usually go to Toronto for Caribana, but unfortunately not this year. Then I go to Boston. I've been to Baltimore and New Jersey.
Where's New Jersey's carnival?
East Orange. No, South Orange. It's not as big, you know. It's like just starting, probably about 2-3 years old. It's not.
So you've been to a fair number. Can you tell me a little bit how they compare? What differs? Which ones do you like the best and why?
Nothing compares to Trinidad. Well, I guess, you know, Trinidad is the founder of the carnival and the steel band and all that. So, you know, their own will tend to be the best. It's been in existence for the longest. And the next place I will say that is closest to Trinidad would have to be New York for, you know, the Labor Day. Because I guess, you know, there are a lot of West Indians that live in Brooklyn itself. So, you know, they know how to run it. And, you know, the participation is so immense that everybody just comes out and they know how to do it right. Plus, there's enough steel bands to go out about and everything. And then after that, I would say Miami has a nice carnival too. But I don't really like Toronto and Boston and Baltimore. Those other places, it's not as, the interest isn't really shown out there as it is in New York.
What do you mean when you say do it right? What does that mean? Is it the number of people who participate? What are the differences?
Probably the organization of the bands and stuff. You see, the band, okay, in New York, the bands will be big, whereas in Boston, the bands are very small and scarce in number. And you have more onlookers than participants. So that's probably their downfall.
Okay. You kind of alluded to some of this, but what does carnival represent to you?
It's a time of freedom. You know, you just get out, enjoy yourself, and do what you want. You know? It's just a time for you to be yourself. Let everything go. Don't worry about anything. You're just there to have a good time. You can worry about work tomorrow.
Is there any group that you associate carnival with? I mean, I know you go to Trinidad on a regular basis. Do you think it's just, you know, people from Trinidad or
West Caribbean people on the whole? Yeah, because Jamaica has a carnival, Barbados has their carnival, so you know, it's all over now.
Is there anything find unique about Brooklyn's carnival compared to some of the other ones that you go to?
Brooklyn?
Yeah.
I participated in the Brooklyn one.
Okay.
What's different? I think it's the participation and in the bands. I mean, there's a lot more people in Brooklyn that participate. And in Brooklyn, it's more, well, I don't know, because usually I go to those other places for a day. But Brooklyn is almost exactly like Trinidad. You have the panorama, the Saturday night, the Sunday night, you have a Calypso showcase. And then the Monday, then after the Calypso showcase, Sunday night into Monday, you have your Juve where all the steel bands come out, and then Monday you have your carnival. It's almost exactly similar to Trinidad.
Why do you think Brooklyn's carnival is as strong as it is next to Trinidad?
Because I believe the amount of Trinidadians that live in Brooklyn, probably, you know, and I mean, people come from all over just to come and see this, you know. It's like, because I have family in Toronto, Canada, and they come down for Labor Day. To see the carnival.
What are the range of people that you know who participate? I mean, is it just Trinidadians?
Range? Well, the majority of people that I know is Trinidadians, but there are a lot of Bajans, people from Barbados, that participate. The Jamaicans, they come out with their reggae and stuff, but it's not, you know, Trinidadians, we outnumber everybody. But the second group, largest group that I've seen participating is probably a lot of Bajans. And then there's the Guyanese. Everybody comes out and does their own little thing.
So you've been going to carnival a good portion of your life, most of your life. Any changes that you've noticed in Brooklyn's carnival over the years?
No, not really.
Nothing
maybe, yeah, it's basically the same every year.
Has it grown?
Yes, it has. Okay. It's gotten quite bigger. Like last year was Kasim's first time participating in a Juve. And oh. I never realized that there were so many bands that used to come out for Juve. It was packed.
Okay. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I did. We were out from one time. I didn't even know. Came up, we came gathered here at about 2 o'clock.
Really?
And we didn't leave until about 7, 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. We just went playing. And I mean, it's little children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're up that early in the morning or the middle of the night just playing. You know, this is what we're into. This is what we love.
Mm-hmm. One thing that just strikes me as I sit here and talk to you is that parents' involvement with Chasm, because it you know, you guys are here quite a bit of your time, and so you really have to have your parents' support.
Yeah.
You know, it seems to be important to them to have you involved.
Yeah,
can you
I
talk
think
a
you
little
know,
bit about that?
I think they're also glad that, you know, we want to preserve our culture, and not only that, it gives us something to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't say, oh, this one here is running the street and getting in trouble. We're downstairs practicing, playing pan. We're not doing anything wrong. We're enjoying ourselves and preserving our culture at the same time. It's a good pastime.
Yeah. Is there, in your perspective, who are the most important people involved in Carnival, or who make it happen?
I think everybody. Because, I mean, if we don't have the masqueraders, there will be no thing. I mean, first of all, well, yeah, you need the people that started all. The people to organize the mass camps and get the costumes out. You know, you need that. And then we also need the support of the people as well so that it will come off.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess everybody plays a major part in it. And the West Indian Day Association, they have a lot to do with it as well. They've kept it going over the years.
Let me ask you a few questions about playing mass. When you go and you select your costume, things like that, what do you look for?
Whichever one catches your eye, you know? Some people, they like to go and they don't like to play with too many clothes. They like to be just a top or bottom and that's it. Some people, they like a lot of masks. Some people, they look at the colors. You know, it all depends on you, what type of person you are,
mm-hmm.
how you choose. Because, I mean, like, you wouldn't want anything too heavy because you want to be able to jump up and dance around.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you wouldn't want nothing too skimpy because, you know, you want to still show off the costume as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on the person, how you choose what you want.
Now, when you pick a costume, you know, the sketch is there, and you know what the role is, right?
Yes.
Okay, is there anything else you do in order to play the role, or you just kind of play it by ear?
Yeah, no, not really. You see, it's not really a show.
Mm-hmm.
You just dress up in a costume.
Mm-hmm.
There's music on the street, and you dance. You just dance, you know, thing, you know, walk down the street. That's basically it. You don't really have to know anything about it.
Are you playing mass this year?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure yet?
No. See, like I told you, my family is with that mass camp Hawks. So I can go the night before and I'll
okay.
be able to get my costume. I okay. really don't know what I'm doing yet.
Okay. So, do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have a sister.
Okay. And she's just as involved as you are?
Yeah, well, she played pan for a year. She didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, to tell you the truth, she's more into the Jamaican culture than the Trinidadian culture.
Why is that?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Do you have a lot of Jamaican friends?
Yeah. Well, her boyfriend's Jamaican, so
well,
maybe that has a lot to do with it.
yeah. So, what do you think Carnival gets enough recognition from people on the outside, from New York, Brooklyn, anybody? This Carnival particularly.
Well, yeah, it does, because right now there's a big thing in the newspapers about how the Jews, they want it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is getting a lot of recognition now. And I believe that if Carnival still goes on, it will prove the amount of recognition and participation that we have in it. But if the Jews get their way and it stops, it would show that it was all for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm
saying? Mm-hmm.
So, I think so. But it's not like, you know, when you have the St. Patrick's Day Parade and Thanksgiving Day Parade, they will have TV coverage all day long. Whereas with us, on the 7 o'clock news or the 10 o'clock news, they would just say, oh, this is what happened today in Brooklyn. So it doesn't get as much respect as those other parades. I guess that's because it's American culture, but this is West Indian culture, so, you know.
Could you make an argument? I mean, because it's become a part of Brooklyn so much that it becomes part of, you know, it's a West Indian culture, but they could also have, like, a West Indian American culture.
Exactly.
That is also changing this community.
Because there, well, I mean, there are quite a few Americans that participate as well. Mm-hmm. I know many.
Do you?
Yeah.
And how do they participate? In what ways?
The same. They play mass. They're masqueraders in the street. Oh. They go to the mass camps, get their costume, and come out and play.
Okay. What do you think people could learn about the West Indian community from Carnival itself? I guess people on the outside, people who live in Brooklyn, people who live in New York City.
What do you think they can learn from
it? What kind of statement do you think it makes? You talk about it's part of your cultural heritage.
Well, first of all, it would show how united we are. And, you know, in keeping this culture preserved, that, you know, even though we came to the States, we're not going to forget it. And we're going to do it whether you like it or not, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, we don't care what you think. We're going to do this anyway. This is our time. This is our day to have fun and do what we want, basically. I'm not sure. With the panorama and stuff, they can learn about, you know, with the panorama, I guess when you go there and, you know, you find out more about the pan, it will show how the pan came about. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a way of communicating. When the slaves were brought to Trinidad from Africa and the families got separated, they used the drumming as a way to communicate amongst each other. And that's how the pan came around. And it just developed into this art as the only instrument in the 20th century. And it's just, you know, it's worldwide known. It's known just about everywhere. And I think we've come a long way with that as well. So they get to learn about how we've struggled to at least stick together, the unity.
I don't really have any more questions. Is there anything else that you'd like to add and have on the record? I'd like to give you this opportunity to do so.
I don't know.
Nothing else?
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Okay, well, let's end the interview here. I want to thank you very much, and I'm sorry I took you away from your rehearsal, but
no
I
problem.
Appreciate it. And we'll end the interview right here then.
Thank you.